Welcome to No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. We promise to inspire, challenge, and make you think beyond the ordinary, reaching for a life lived for love alone. Stay tuned for the next 30 minutes and tell your friends to join us every Saturday night at 5:30 and Sunday morning at 9:30 Central Standard Time. And now, here's my husband, Bishop Randy Dean.
Well, thank you, everybody, for joining us here again today for the No BS Bishop. I'm Alive to Love. All lesser values are potential BS. It's so lightning for my mind and my heart, and I mean lightning like the flash of lightning, for you to be here to trust me with a half an hour of your life and time. I take a lot of both humility and pride in the fact that this does reach hearts and minds out there with the one topic, the one subject that every human being needs an education in. Every human on earth needs a greater, more profound, significant education on the subject of love. If you've listened to me at all, you've heard me give a purpose statement that's just like this, that I am alive to love. I'm not on this earth for hate. I'm alive for love. I'm not breathing, eating, sleeping to just regain energy for potentially causing pain or disappointment in others' lives. I'm alive with plans and dreams, designs and destiny locked into anything and everything that is love. I am simply unavailable for anything less. My purpose in life is to love. I share this with you week in and week out. I believe that there is one purpose that to which all of us have been called. When people ask me, well, Pastor, what do you believe my purpose in this life is? I have a quick answer for that, because I can say this to every boy and girl, every man and woman, every senator, every president, every janitor, every cafeteria cook, every restaurant owner. I can say this to anybody. Just line up 100 people and I'll say, all right, 100 out of 100 of you are on this earth for this purpose. Your purpose in life is to love. And if you're loved in return, it's a welcome, glorious bonus. It's always a bonus to get love back. But we have to learn how to refuse to adamantly wait for love to come to us before we determine to love in return, to let our love be activated. All we need to know about the will of God for our life is that we're called to be lovers, and everything will grow out of that one priority. I'm alive to love. All lesser values absolutely pale by comparison. There's no way to bring any other value to the height of love. I understand that as a person of faith, that I am a person of faith. I understand that. But I also know my faith is invalidated by my lack of love. Paul said in the most famous writing of all human history about love, the first book of Corinthians, chapter 13, if I have faith to move a mountain, but I have not love, I am nothing, no thing. There's nothing about me that has value, even if I can move mountains. Now, I have tried to move a few mountains, and I've moved a few by faith. I know people all through my life who have heralded the highest value of faith being what we need to all ascend to and aspire to. But I have discovered that faith without love is a dead thing. It becomes a personal vendetta if love isn't holding faith in some form of abeyance and control. If I'm operating out of faith and I see people that are suffering, I will approach them not out of love first, but out of faith first. There's nothing wrong with having faith for people, but if I don't have love toward that person, if my love is not the solid rock upon which my faith is being born, then my faith comes across as a vendetta. I'm somehow or another so much better than them that if they have a problem, you need my faith. You need me to have faith for you. There's something wrong with your faith, so I've got faith, so let's get after you with my faith. How do I say it with love? Those are harsh tones that come from faith without love. Love is what gives faith any purpose, and that's just the issue of faith. Faith, hope, and love are the three that remain, but the greatest of these is love. So I want to talk to you this week and next. I have a two-part series that I'm cooking here that I want to make sure you can smell the bread of this teaching real well today and next weekend. And that is living from the heart of love. Living from the heart of love, being alive to love and being aware that I'm not on this earth for lesser things. I cannot spend my energy for unforgiveness. I cannot give myself my energies. I cannot eat and sleep and breathe and rest and be ready for a new day just to cause pain. I am alive to love. I'm alive with plans and dreams, designs, and destiny that's locked into anything and everything that looks like love. I am unavailable for anything less. That statement of value in itself is profound. It could keep you cooking for the rest of your life. So before I get into the points of reference here on living from the heart, in fact, I want to stop on the word heart for 1 minute, living from the heart. I believe love is a heart issue. And certainly, as you've listened to me here, you know that I believe there's a science. There are practices and practical purposes of love. But I really believe that the heart, the soul of the human being, is that oven in which love is cooking. And that's one place where my love abundantly, that's the word I'm looking for, so extravagantly can be developed is from my heart. I'll think about things, I'll get practical about it, but my heart must be baked into love. But let me, before we get to those points of reference from living from the heart of love, let me read something from Martin Luther King Jr. You know I'm a great fan of his. His studies, his writings, his speeches have always ignited something in me that very few other things, short of scripture, short of some of the most profound sermons I've heard from others in this world, the writings of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. have so ignited me my whole life. Here's his quote that I want to rest on for today. Somehow, we must be able to stand up before our most bitter opponents and say, "We shall match your capacity to inflict suffering by our capacity to endure suffering. We will meet your physical force with soul force." There's that heart issue. "Do to us what you will, and we will still love you. But be assured, we'll wear you down by our capacity to suffer, and one day we will win our freedom. We will not only win freedom for ourselves, we will so appeal to your heart." There it is again, the heart. "We will so appeal to your heart and conscience that we will win you in the process, and our victory will be a double victory." Wow. That's the quote unquote from Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. I'll return to that another time before we conclude today's broadcast. But I want you to understand that it is heroic humans such as Dr. King who discovered that love was at the taproot of every movement toward justice. He understood that love had to be the activity and the code of ethics, if you will, of anything that was done toward racial injustice, toward civil rights. He understood that love had to be the full container for that. Otherwise, it would become simply just law. Looking for laws to correct the wrong of our world. And he understood that laws will never heal hearts, both the heart of the one suffering or the hearts of those who cause the suffering. So I'm looking at us, you know, here in the United States today, that in this time of bitter political battles, I'm urging all of you listening to me to look again at these words of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. And listen again as I'll share this week and next on this list of living from the heart of love. And understand that our battles in life cannot be won on the basis of simple strategic thoughts. Our battles in life with others or even with ourselves cannot be won in an effective way that changes life unless we're willing to go to the real heart of love, the heart of life, which is to love. So let's talk about this. Let's explore. As I come here every week, you hear me give you these lists, and I hope they're practical for you. I hope you can make some notes of this, or you can go back to WPCA Radio's a website and look at the archive of the No BS Bishop. We're keeping an archive there of all of these broadcasts, and I trust that you're doing that on some level so that you can review the challenges I'm offering. And this one today seems, I don't know, maybe all of my broadcasts seem the most important, but this one seems altogether so important in our time, to learn to live from the heart of love. So here it is, and some of this is a little repeat, a little review, but some of it's brand new territory I want to plow. So first of all, learn to ask yourself hard questions. Ask yourself hard questions. You know, you know what I'm talking about, the mirror dialogue we have when you're in the bathroom shaving, or you're in the bathroom combing your hair, or ladies, if you're putting on your makeup, or maybe a gentleman out there putting on his makeup. We'll leave that for another topic. But, you know, we're all looking in the mirror, and we've got these mirror conversations, the mirror dialogue. And we're having brave conversation with somebody we know that needs to hear it. So in the mirror, while we're shaving or brushing our teeth or whatever we're doing, we're looking in that mirror and we're talking to that person that needs to hear it. And we go after them with these hard questions. We start asking hard questions about motives. We ask hard questions about why. And we ask hard questions about their philosophy of life, their worldview of life. We ask hard questions of, well, what do you believe about the Bible? We ask others hard questions of all those motivators that go on. I want to challenge you to do the mirror dialogue and ask yourself those same questions, those hard questions. Why do you talk the way you do? Now, don't do it in a self-loathing or abusive way toward yourself. You shouldn't do it toward other people. So talk to yourself in a way that you would want someone to talk to you to get to the answers of your hard questions. Learning to live from the heart means I'm going to ask hard questions of myself. Why do I react in the way I react? Why do I say on an instantaneous basis, why do I say that same shop-worn phrase over and over again? You know, you I'm sure will understand this when I say, when dad is out in his wood shop and he's driving a nail, and his son or his daughter is standing there, a little child, and dad's trying to drive a nail into a project he's working on, and where I'm going here, right? The hammer misses its mark. And boy, the hammer hits the thumb. And out of the thumb comes the nerve endings of pain. And out of those nerve endings of pain, there rushes to the brain a message. We're in trouble. You just hurt yourself. And then in those nerve endings to the brain, all of a sudden, there comes a signal from the brain to the mouth. And the mouth shouts a curse. Now, if your dad out there in your wood shop and you just plug your thumb and your brain talk to your mouth and your mouth shouted a curse, and the first thing you see, right, first item of your attention is that small child looking at you with eyes wide open and a face that may be a little shocked or maybe that's just blank. And most of us will say, oh, I'm sorry, that's not really me. And really, 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 we find ourselves in an untenable situation right there, don't we? Because we know that little child, without science, without psychology, without any philosophy, that little child's looking at you when you say, oh, I'm sorry, that's not really me. And that little child looks back and says, well, it sure looked like you saying that ugly word. Sure looked like you cursing God. Sure looked like you with a temper tantrum coming out of your mouth. You sure looked like you saying something that you would have threatened to wash my mouth out with soap over. So what? That's the one I'm talking about, hard questions. In the hard questions, we have to wrestle with why in my immediate response to negativity or pain, pain physically, pain psychologically, why does the first thing come out of me? Why is that the response that's in me? It's like a, you know, I have an inventory of things in me that I will pull off the shelf in response to certain things. And knowing how to ask yourself the hard question, what causes me to stock my shelves, my emotional shelves in my heart with that response, that reaction? How did I get there? Now, we can ask ourselves that hard question and then avoid the answers. But I'm suggesting you should pay close attention to your own hard questions. So in your mirror dialogue, look in the mirror and say, when you hurt, why is the immediate reaction something that you are embarrassed about or that you've got to apologize for or that you've got to make some amends for what you just said? Where did that come from? I know I don't have time here, but I can suggest to you so many ideas to explore here. And here's one of the most obvious ideas, and that is that we have all learned at the feet of our parents, just like that small child watching their dad in the woodshop. You learned at their feet. They were the teacher whether they announced it or not. Daddy's the teacher. I am the student in this moment. And you, whoever you are, if you're 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, you were once a student sitting at the feet of the teacher of your mom or dad, and you learned to react, to respond viscerally. Somewhere down on that invisible side of your heart, you learned this is how you react in moments like this. So when you learn to ask hard questions, you come to terms with what you learned and what may be flawed in that education. And in that flawed education, you have to accompany that with new instruction, however old you are. You see, so many people, and I've done it myself, we blame our current behaviors on what I learned as a kid. Good, bad, or indifferent, I have always had to be careful about asking myself a hard question about why do I blame it on my childhood, and now I'm no longer a little boy in my dad's woodshop. I am this full-grown adult, and now I've got to be so much more responsible than to say, well, that's just how I learned it as a kid. That's how I grew up. Well, if you are alive, then you're alive to keep growing. And if you're alive to keep growing, remember my statement of purpose earlier? I'm alive to love. My purpose in life is to love. And if I'm here on this earth eating and sleeping and breathing and taking in calories for energy, then I'm not here for causing pain. I'm here for causing love. So there's where I'm focused today's broadcast. Ask yourself hard questions. And the second half of that part of this list of learning to live from the heart, asking yourself hard questions. Then secondly, find some trusted friend. Find, Alcoholics Anonymous calls it a sponsor. Find somebody who isn't afraid to tell you the truth, who can look you in the eye and say, I have a few hard questions for you. I'm not here to hurt you. I'm not here to push you around or to control you. I just want to be a help to you. But listen, don't take that person as somebody who just comes inviting themselves, their self into your life. Take somebody into your life that you've invited to help you ask the hard questions. That's what this is the second part of today of learning to live from the heart of love. Ask yourself the hard questions and help and ask somebody to help you find, to know, to voice answers to those hard questions. Let me give you a couple of personal stories and then I'll wrap today's broadcast up. I came to terms I believe I was in my late 30s, possibly my early 40s, that as you know, I've been a pastor my whole adult life. I'm still a pastor in a different venue other than a brick and mortar, the church. I have always been a pastor. I've always been the caregiver. I've always been the person giving advice. I've always been the person who somebody called to say, I need a counseling appointment. I need your help. And so in my late 30s, I think it was then, I came to the realization that I didn't have somebody that I needed to call, that I needed to say, hey, I got a big emotional owie. I am not thinking clearly. I am confused. I am twisted up. I'm sideways with myself. And as a result of being sideways with me, I'm sideways with people all around me. And so I learned then, I began the process. Let me say it this way. I began learning the process of inviting people into my life who could speak honestly. So as I started this issue of talking to ourselves from and living from the heart of love, I know we've got to ask hard questions, but I also know this. We've got to have somebody out there with trust, somebody we've invited, somebody that we welcomed into this place of our life, somebody who has the temerity, the courage, the strength to ask us those hard questions. Or in another way to put it, to call that somebody, like an AA, a sponsor is somebody you call all hours of the day or maybe in the night, and you call them and say, help, I'm in trouble. Now that sponsor in AA doesn't have to necessarily get in their car and drive wherever you are, but they do have to have some availability to listen to you. To listen to you just cry it out or scream it out or get it all out there and then let it lay so that it can then stay where it is. So, you know, it's AA again has another tradition, and that is what you hear here stays here. You know, the Las Vegas, they say what happens in Las Vegas stays in Las Vegas. Your mistakes will follow you to Omaha, Nebraska. Your mistakes are going to follow you to Scranton. Your mistakes will follow you to Miami. They'll follow you to Spokane. I don't care where you go from Las Vegas. That mistake will follow you. But on this level, if you will find for yourself somebody that's like an AA sponsor, and somebody you call and you can spill your guts, you can tell them anything, and you can trust that what you say here stays here. And then that person then can travel with you to find answers. And you know, sponsors aren't people that have all the answers. They're in their own journey. But a sponsor is somebody that'll hold your hand, look you in the eye and say, get answers. I'll help you, but you gotta get answers to this question. So that I've learned so much from the 12 traditions of AA and Alcoholics Anonymous and codependency recovery for me through CODA, Al-Anon. I'm telling you that is so valuable for my thinking and on this subject of learning to live from the heart of love. And today we talked about those two things. Ask yourself hard questions and invite somebody into your life who can help you find the answers to those hard questions, or they themselves can ask you the hard questions. All right, so we're coming down on the end of today's broadcast. I'm reminding you that I believe that what Martin Luther King Jr. said is that if we live from the life of love, we can win a dual battle. It not only can we love enough to win justice, but we can love enough to win our enemies as friends. And it becomes a double victory. A double victory. Not only are we learning to live from our heart so that we're achieving purposes in our life out of love, but we're also living a life of love enough that the people around us who have otherwise had a whole lot of cause to be our enemies are suddenly changed from enemies to partners, friends, sisters, brothers, spiritual family, and maybe physical family. And Dr. King said, you know, you can do to us what you will, but we will win your heart. And why do we have to win a heart? Because a heart is the seat of love. All right, so let's practice these two things that I always end the broadcast with. First is breathing. That's funny to me. During this pandemic, I'm seeing an awful lot of emotional support coming from people on TV, radio, and podcasts who are teaching what I'm teaching you right now, and that is breathe, dear one, breathe. Take a deep breath and draw it all the way to the bottom of your lungs. Here we go. On the count of three. One, two, three. Hold that breath. And exhale. Let's do it again. On the count of three, breathe very deep. Just force that air in. On, two, three, in. And exhale that breath. That's practice. That's not going to cover your day today, those two breaths. No. But it's a practice of what you need to do routinely through your day. It'll help you draw some self-control. All right? So now look somebody in the eye. Be determined. Maybe there's somebody with you right now. Maybe you just have to just take whoever's nearby and practice this. And that is look them in the eye and say the three most amazing words that come from a human being. And those words are these. I love you. Look them in the eye. Make it weird. Make it awkward. And make sure they understand that you're not just being a weirdo. You're being a fully grown human being with a capacity for love. I want you to hear me say it. I love you. Wherever you're from, however your life has arranged your priorities to be wherever you are right now, I want you to hear from this one guy out here in this broadcast, this podcast, this radio show. And I want you to hear me say it. I love you. I don't have to know who you are because I'm alive to love. I have no other value that's higher than love in my life. And I know this, whoever you are, I love you. Thanks for being with us today again for this episode of the No BS Bishop Alive to Love. All lesser values than love can fall into the category of just BS. Thank you for being here today. Now get out there and do something beautiful, because ugly, oh baby, ugly has been done to death.
Thank you for being with us today for this episode of No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. Be sure to join us again here next week, Saturday at 5:30 p.m. and Sunday at 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time. Feel free to contact us with your questions or comments at randydeanministries@gmail.com, and we welcome your financial support at paypal.me/randydeanministries. No BS Bishop is a service of WPCA Radio and Randy Dean Ministries.